I've shared this before, and just in case you would want to know how to prepare a message, I want to give you a little insight on preparing a message. So, and I never had a homiletics course, which is how to prepare a message. So, but I did have some teaching courses of how to teach. And so, if you're going to prepare a message, I think you need to set aside. For me, it's about 15 to 20 hours in a week. So that's where you need to start you got to set aside that period of time, and so that you can have time. That's just study. That's not stuff that you would do. That's not the prayer. That's not the things that you would need to get yourself ready. And then I think there's a piece of that where, God, you need to do this in me, so because I can't really teach something I don't know. And so I have a time where that happens in my life, and the prayers of the prayer warriors that are praying for our services each week help me with that and speak into my life, and so very necessary for me. So if you're going to prepare a message, you need time, and you're going to need an openness in your heart, not to necessarily anything other than God, because you need to understand God. And then I think you need to understand humanity, because that's where God wants to speak to. And so God brings it from humanity, or from himself into humanity. That's what Jesus did, right? Jesus was that go-between, was that teacher, and that's what he did. And you've heard this before, but I want to remind you of it. And then you have a four parts to your message or your teaching, if you really want to engage people. And that's the words I've used before, was hook, book, look, took. And you need to have this hook where you invite people in. You kind of hook them, so to speak. And you want to engage people. That's what you want to do, because you're ready to deliver what God has given you. But if there's nobody there, and if you're there, but you're kind of, woohoo, is this guy ever going to be done? You know, you need to engage people. So the professor would say, the hook is how you engage. Or invite people into what you have experienced. Invite people into what you're doing. So, and then you need the hook, and then you need the book, right? You need the Word of God. He said it doesn't, that's what you're going to teach from, all 31,104 verses. 807,261 words, all of it. You're going to teach it. So you need to know what the book says. So you hook and book, and then look, is this, how does it apply to my life? And how do I get this out of the jar of paint, perhaps? How do I get the can open, and how do I get it on the wall? How do I do that in my life? Which is necessary, I think. No, I know it is, because it really doesn't do me any good to hear is something I can't apply, right? So I need to apply it to my life. Well, so what? You got to ask the question, so what? And then there's the took, is what do you want to carry out from this? And you got a piece of this. I want to carry this out. And you'll see me doing that. Hey, I want you to do this, or I want you to write this, or put this on your mirror, or I want you to have this piece of paper, or I want you to stop by your neighbor's house and pray this blessing. There's always some sort of took, seemingly, most of the time. So each portion of that is a portion of the message. Does it demand equal time? I don't think so. And so that's where my mind goes in the time. I'm saying, okay, where's the hook, book, look, took? And how do I engage? And how do I know what the Word says? And how do I apply that to my life and then help you to apply it to your life? And then what do I give you to walk out of here with? Everybody likes something to walk out with. It's like, man, if you go to the fair and you get a yardstick, it's like, woo! This is the best yardstick I ever had. You leave the fair with something. Maybe you don't. I do. I collect yardsticks, so I have a couple hundred of them, and I collect yardsticks and axes. I'm not sure what's going on in my life, but that's what I collect. When I got new insurance, and we did, and she said, "Do you have anything of value?" And I said, "I do." She said, "What is it that you want to insure?" I said, "I want to insure my yardsticks." She said, "The insurance company down the street could help me." So, but so that's the thing. But you take something right? You take something away. So here we go on this journey today, and so some of those pieces come easy. And some of those pieces come hard. And some of the pieces that come easy one week come hard the next week. And some of the pieces, I understand where the hook but the book I really wrestle with, and most of my hours are spent there, or the book of Luke or Took. And so, in this week, I like three quarters of it came pretty easy. I won't say easy. Came in the first 15 to 18 hours. But the hook was struggling this week. God, how do I invite people in? Because I believe and I'm passionate about this. But how do I invite people in? How do I say, come with me? So here's my hook. I don't even have it written on my notes, just so you know. Here's my hook. Come with me. That's all I got. Come with me this morning. Come with me. We're going to dive into the Gospel of John this morning. We're going to dive into the fourth Gospel, the Gospel of John this morning. Come with me. It's amazing what the pages of the Gospel of John contain. All the Gospels that we have been through, all of the Matthew and the Mark and the Luke and the John, and still in here we have the decrees from the king, we have the gloves of the servant, and we have the superhuman performance of last week. It's still in here, baby. It's still in here. It's the superhuman performance is still in the gospel. But there's one gospel that we haven't dove into this morning, yet until this morning. It's John. And so we dive into that gospel this morning. So give me a few moments this morning to dive into the Gospel of John. Come on along with me. The water is perfect. Jump in. And this is the way it begins. In the beginning. You know what that word means in the Greek? The beginning. It's just the beginning. It's the start. It's the origin. It's the origin of all things. It's the beginning of all things. It's not just the beginning of John. It's not just the beginning of his gospel. He's saying, I want to take you back. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning. It's the same beginning. He said, I want to take you all the way back to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. Not in the beginning, the Word was created. Like in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created. Or God said, and it happened, and it was good. But John wants us to know that in this beginning, in that beginning, the Word already was. In the beginning was the Word. He was there in the beginning. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. He was not created by God. This word, this communication is really what you're trying to express here. This communication from God was in God already at the beginning. And he wanted to talk to you and to me. And the writer, John, is saying, I get this opportunity to tell you what has been on the heart of God for all of eternity. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. This living message from God. Look at verse 2. Through Him. Now we know the Word is a Him. Until verse 2, we don't know that the Word is a Him. But the Word is a Him. Not H-Y-M-N. An H-I-M. Capital H-I-M. Because the Word was with God and the Word was God. So we know that the Word, this communication, this living communication from God was in the beginning. John says, you got to know this. This is not something that God thought up on the fly. This is something that God has planned out for thousands of years. And He is with God, and He was God, and through Him all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. This word is a person. This word, this person is a creator. So we're starting to build here in the Gospel of John. He wants you to know, and he wants me to know, that in the beginning there was the Word, this communication from God, and this Word was a Him, and this Him was a Creator. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Woo! In Him was life. He's not just your everyday, ordinary Word. He's your capital W Word. He's your capital H Him. Because in Him was life. And that life was the light of men. I'm going to quote Isaac on this one when he's up here singing. Did you hear him, what he said? I love this one, he said. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The Word is life. The life is light. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood or overcome it. The terminology is there. The light defeats and befuddles the darkness. The darkness can't figure out what's displacing it. It just knows that it's being displaced. And this light is defeats the darkness. This light, the light, this life, man, it's the light of man. This life that's been given, it defeats darkness. Whew. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it or overcome it. The light defeats and befuddles darkness. The light cannot be defeated by darkness. We're going to need to know that, men and women. We're going to need to know that, new lifers. We're going to need to know that, visitors. We're going to need to know that, whoever, that when the light of life steps into the darkness loses. Amen. I mean, he's setting us up for some pretty big stuff here. We're only to verse 5. The darkness cannot win against the light. Jump into verse 9. Look at what he says. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. This message from God, this Him, this Creator, this life, this light, this unquenchable light, this undefeatable light, it's coming. The true light is coming. The true, it's not your imagination. It's not an imaginary thing. It's not an imaginary friend. It's not something you can just manifest in your mind. This is something God is sending. This power that defeats darkness, this power that touches the earth, is coming. Hang on, John said, buckle up, baby, 5-point restraint, because something's coming that's going to displace the darkness in your world. Come on now. Quoting Isaac, oh, baby, I love this one. He's not imaginary. This Him is real. The light is not your imaginary friend. The true light gives light to men. Look at verses 10 and 11. He was in the world, and though the world was made by Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. Just so you know, that's bad. Don't take that advice. Because the light is coming, but apparently it's a rejectable light. Apparently, it's not forced on you. Apparently, it's not going to shine on you whether you like it or not. It's not going to happen. He came to that which was own, but His own did not receive. Who in the world would not receive light, life, unquenchable light? The Him, the Creator, the Word, the message from God. But some do, we know. And some did hear. But look at verse 12. Yet, to all who receive Him, to those who believe in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision or the husband's will, but born of God. This is a position-changing light. This light not only defeats the darkness, not only carries life with it, It not only is unquenchable by the darkness, but now it switches your position in life. That's powerful stuff. The book is uncovering. The hook was a little weak this morning. The book, if it's weak, it's on me, because the book is never weak. And this book, this day, is not weak. This light will switch your position from not a child of God to a child of God. But he's not going to force it down your throat. The guy in prison one time said, if I come to your church, are you going to shove Jesus down my throat? And I says, his counselor was there with me, and I got right up close to him. I said, you bet I am. We got a big red plunger. It's got Jesus written on it. When you come through that door, I got some big dudes, and they're going to grab you, and they're going to throw you to the floor, and they're going to plunge Jesus right down your throat. You nut. But the light is in the house. And that's what I told him. I said, you know what, sir? God can shove it down your throat clear to your big toenail, and he won't. But he'll present it to you over and over and over again. If you're tired of wearing orange, you may want to try Jesus. It's a position-changing light. Look at verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. It's not just a theory to God. It's applicable. This unquenchable light, this overcomable light to overcomes darkness, this light that will switch your position, this life that God wants, this Creator that wants to step into your life, this message from God that wants to step into your life is in the house. That's what that says. And he made his dwelling among us. He became flesh and made his dwelling among us. This Word, this Him, this Creator, this light, this life, this life, this light, this true light, this undefeatable light, this position-changing light is among us. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. He came full of grace and truth. When he was weighed down with grace, he was weighed down with favor. He was weighed down with satisfaction for your life. He was weighed down with delight. He was weighed down with goodwill. He's weighed down with loving kindness. He's weighed down with mercy. He came full of grace. Whew. And he came full of truth, unchanging certainty. Came full of grace and truth. This Word, this Him, this Creator, this light, this true light, this undefeatable light, this position-changing light, this grace, this truth is among us. Look at verse 16. From the fullness of His grace, we have all received one blessing after another, after another, after another, after another, dot, dot, dot. The flow of grace, the flow of light, the flow of this truth, the flow of this life-altering, this life-changing positional grace and mercy and light is being poured out on us. This Word, this Him, this life, this light, this true light, this undefeatable light, this position-changing light, this grace, this truth, this bringer of blessing, a blessing bringer is among us. Just so you know, up to this point, we have no idea who this is. Now, I know you probably know because you've read more of the book. But up to this point, we have no idea. Can you imagine sitting on the edge of your seat saying, where is that? Verse 17 says this, "For the law was given through Moses," hang on, "grace and truth through Jesus the Christ." 17 verses, we finally know it's Jesus. This word, this Him, this Creator, this life, this light, this true light, this undefeatable light, this position-changing light, this grace, this truth, this blessing bringer is Jesus, and He is among us this morning. Because the Word became flesh and lived among us. And He has one blessing after another, after another, after another that He wants to pour out on you. We just jump down. Let me just jump down to verse 51 of chapter 1. And Jesus is talking to Nathanael here and probably the other disciples. And look what He says. Then He added, He's talking to Nathanael, but I think He's looking at the disciples that are with Him. Then He is Jesus. Then Jesus added this. Just so, wait a minute, Nathanael. I know you got it. Hey, wait a minute. Don't fall asleep on me yet. Hey, wait a minute. I'm not done preaching yet, Jesus said. I got something else for you, and this is what you're going to see. I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open up and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. And instantly when I read that, I went back to Jacob's ladder and Jacob's stairway and watching Jacob, watching the angels ascend and descend on the stairway to heaven. Amen. This heaven comes down to earth. I've always wondered, what were the angels carrying? I said, what kind of baskets did they have? Because I don't think God just say, hey, angels, just go down there and run up and down those steps. I just want Jacob to wonder what's going on. And make some racket while you're doing it so it keeps him awake because he's trying to fall asleep. Yeah, I only gave him a rock for a pillow, but he still can't stay awake. But I always wondered what the angels were carrying. And just so you know, Jesus said, whoa, Nathanael, I need you to know. It's my job now. I am the ladder. I am the stairway to heaven. You will see God bringing stuff through me to this earth like you cannot imagine. You're going to see Him bring life. You're going to see Him bring light. You're going to see Him bring grace and mercy and loving kindness. You're going to see Him dump it out on this earth. That's what He's saying there. So hang on, Nathanael. You wanted to hang out under the tree. You don't think I was real. You thought I was just a figmentation of your imagination. I'm telling you, Nathanael, I am real. And you're going to see my effects on this earth. Because I am the stairway now. And God, the Father, is going to send stuff down the stairway. And He's going to pour it out on you. And He's going to pour it out on this world. And this light, this undefeatable light, this Word, and this Him, and this Creator, and this life, and this light, and this true light, and this undefeatable light, and this position-changing light, and this grace, and this truth, and this blessing bringer, and this Jesus is touching the earth. We sing the song, How He Loves Us. And we start, He is jealous for me, loves like a hurricane, and I am a tree. And in that piece of that song, we sing this phrase, and heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss. That's Jesus. That's bringing that to this earth. And God said, I'm going to kiss this earth. You know what a kiss on the forehead means? I've got you. I care about you. I'll protect you. And I think I feel on a regular basis God kissing my forehead. Over and over and over again. And I think the rest of the Gospel of John is just this. I think the rest of the Gospel of John is just God pouring out His kisses. You know, the first person I think He poured it out on was an old guy in the middle of the night. Who was stuck in his religious ways. But he saw something real. And he wondered, if that's for me, And so he asked Jesus to meet him in the garden. He asked this life and this light to meet him in the middle of the darkness. Don't you just think that's beautiful? When Nicodemus asked Jesus to meet him in the middle of the night, and Jesus walked right into the middle of his darkness. You can push the button. I call him the old religious guy, or ORGs for short. You know who Jesus wants to kiss? The ORGs of this world. And I'm just saying this just to be honest. In this country, in this United States of America, the church needs to be kissed by Jesus, because the church is overwhelmed with ORGs. And I think it's beautiful when Jesus came to the old religious guy first, because I think Jesus wants to touch the church. I think he wants to kiss the church. I think he wants to kiss those that might be stuck. And you know what? I started to say, I'm just going to toss these out. But you know what? God never tosses his kiss. He delivers it right to you. He never just throws it out on. He places it in your hand. Because he wants you to feel his kiss. Look what he says to Nicodemus. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are the teacher who has come from God, because you're doing stuff that the church has never seen before." For you are performing miraculous signs, and you are doing for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, "I've got hope for you. I've got hope for you. I've got hope for you. Because if you're born again, you get to see the kingdom of God." Amen. And Nicodemus says, "Man, I've been around a long time." The next slide says this. It says, "How can a man be born again when he's old?" Nicodemus says, I am water over the bridge. It's never going to work for me. And Jesus says, "You don't know that I am the defeating, darkness defeating light. And I'm placing it in your hands. You don't know who I am. I am the Word. You don't know who I am. I am the Creator. You don't know who I am. I am the one who can bring light to your darkness. You don't know who I am. I am the light of the world. You have no idea. I can do that. I can take an old guy and make him new." How about the next person he run into? The woman with a hard life, I call her the WHLs of the world. It's the woman at the well. Don't you find it interesting that he came to the old religious guy and then he came to the woman at the well? You know where the woman at the well was? You know the story. You know it probably better than I do. You know the woman at the well was at the well in the middle of the afternoon because she didn't want to be around anybody else. Because what she didn't think she mattered anymore. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the afternoon, the hottest part of the day, when no one goes even gets water, except the one who thinks they don't matter anymore. And all of a sudden, Jesus is sitting in the hottest part of the day, in the open by the well. And he walks, and she walks right up, and he engages her. He said, "I got a kiss for you. I want to place it in your hand." And he says this to her. If God is spirit, and this is part of the conversation, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth, Jesus said. And the woman says, "Oh, I know. I know the Messiah called Christ is coming. And when he comes, I guess he'll straighten out everything, because my life is certainly screwed up." Can you imagine the next phrase being spoke to her? "I'm ready to kiss you," he said. Jesus declared, I who speak to you am He. Wow. So I don't know if you're an ORG this morning. I don't know if you're a WHL this morning. But God's got a whole bunch of kisses that He's delivering through His Son into our lives. And He wants to deliver it to every one of us. Just so you know, I bought 500 of these babies. And just so you know, just for trivia tonight, there's 250 in this thing now. I counted them. I may have some weird tendencies in my brain. How about this one? Just let me go. Just hang with me. The guy with old injuries. The GOIs in the world. Some of us have injuries forever. We've had injuries for longer than we know that we had an injury. A brokenness in us. A lie that we believed. And those things. And look what happens to him. Look what Jesus walks into him. One was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. You know what Jesus is saying? It's time to get free of the old junk that's in your life. And I'm going to step right into your life, and I'm going to give you light. One who had been an invalid for 38 years, when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked, "Do you want the light to step into your life? Do you want me to give you light? Do you want me to show you what I can do?" Don't count it out. Do you know who I am? 38 years, I'm from the beginning. I am the Creator. I can create new. I can take an old broken heart and I can heal it. I can take a messed up life and I can bring life to it. How about this guy? The disciples with a big task, the DBTs in life. You got a disciple with a big task? Are you a disciple with a big task? Are you a follower of Jesus and Jesus is asking you to do more than you think you can do? And this is Philip. Look what it says. When Jesus looked up and saw the great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, where should we buy bread to feed these people? And then verse 7 says, Philip answered, 8 months' wages wouldn't be enough for each one to have a bite. Just so you know, I need you to know, an average sandwich takes 8 bites to eat. Eight times eight is 64 months. It's going to take 64 months, 5.25 years of wages to buy everybody a sandwich. Jesus said, "Oh, you got, wait a minute. Will you stop looking at the sandwich and start looking at the Savior?" Amen. Because it doesn't really matter how big the job is. I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to kiss you. See, I got kisses, Nate, for this reason. Because I think you'd punch me in the mouth if I could just come up and kiss you. So I wanted to buy you something you wouldn't punch me in the mouth with. That's the God's honest truth. I said, "Man, I'd like just kiss everybody." And God said, "That wouldn't be safe." We're not talking COVID stuff. We're talking punch in the mouth stuff. But God wants to kiss. He wants to kiss us. He wants to kiss you. He wants to kiss you. And He wants to kiss you. He is the highway, the stairway to heaven. Let me throw a couple more of these out. How about people caught in a storm? The PCSs, all of a sudden a storm is in your life and you don't know what to do. Look at this beautiful piece of scripture. Strong winds were blowing and waters grew rough. I can hear the music in the movie. Boom, you know, everything gets deep and the strong winds were blowing and the waters grew rough. And when they had rowed 3.5 miles, they saw Jesus approaching them in the middle of their storm. Because why? Because he had light for them. Isn't that beautiful? And Jesus approached the boat and walked on the water. He walked on the water. And they were terrified, but he said to them, "Whoa, it's the light of the world. I'm just knocking on your door. I see you're having a little issue with your boat. I think I can do something about that. It's me. Don't be afraid." Then, look at the third line. Then they were willing to take Jesus into the boat. See, this light is not forced. Then they were willing, said, "Jesus, come in. Come into my life. Come in." And immediately the boat reached the shore where they were headed. Isn't that amazing? They rowed for 3.5 miles. They didn't get anywhere. Jesus says, "I can bring a solution to that situation in your life." And boom, in a nanosecond, "Would you let me come in? Would you let me come in? Would you let me come in? Oh, I want to give you a kiss." Speaking as Jesus. How about the people with debilitating anxiety? The PDAs. And just one, look at this verse. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." You know what just happened? They got some really tough news. And the first thing Jesus says, "I didn't keep the tough news from coming to your life. I didn't. But I won't leave you alone in that tough news. I won't leave you alone in the tough news. I know you just got word that something was wrong in your life. I know you just got word. And I know that you wonder why I didn't stop it. We'll talk about that. But I need you to know, don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in me. Trust in God. Watch what we can do. I'm bringing a light into your life." How about the guy who dropped the ball, the GDBs? I'm a GDB sometimes. His name was Peter. And Peter had denied Christ 3 times. And you know what happened? Peter went back to an old way of life because he thought he dropped the ball for the final time. And he went back fishing. Guess who shows up while he's fishing? Just guess who shows up. This is a Sunday school answer. You can say it. But guess who shows up? How did you guess? Look what he says. Push the button. Didn't I have a verse for that? I guess the look didn't go too well this week either. This is where Peter gets reinstated by Jesus, and Jesus shows up at the shore, and he says, "Peter, do you love me?" And he says, "You know I love you." "Do you love me, Peter?" He said, "You know I love you. Do you love me?" And when he said it for the third time, Peter was cut to the heart because he knew what Jesus was doing. "I know you didn't think I knew that you denied me, but I did, and I love you anyway. So much that I'm showing back up in your life. I want to give you the light. I want to give you the light. I want to give you the light." So are you an ORG? Are you a WHL? Are you a GOI? Are you a DBT? Are you a PCS? Are you a PDA? Or are you a GDB? It doesn't really matter. Because Jesus is in the market of bringing a kiss from heaven to every situation that our lives can get in. Heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss. Push the button for me. I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. For those that are walking with me, I'm giving you a whole pile of kisses so you can kiss this earth. Oh, baby. Those, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will be doing what I've been doing. Oh, hang on, Don. Get your hands ready. You're going to need both of them. I'm delivering so many kisses to you, and you're going to kiss this earth because you're going to be doing what I was doing. And I was kissing this earth. And I was kissing this earth. And I want to give you the kisses from heaven so you can deliver them among the people that you are with. Isn't that good stuff? I'm not talking my message. I'm talking about John. And I'm talking about the realness that he has, that he wants it. Oh, man, you get to do that. You get to do that. Oh, baby. Don't worry, I got another 250 up there. You know what I like? I like just the excitement in the little kids. Man, Josh, take this for your niece. And that's yours. Ooh. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things because I'm going to the Father. You can't outgive God.
Amen.
Will you stand with me today? Jesus, thank you for being this penetrating light, this word, this message from God, this life-altering light, this life position, this position-changing light, this grace, this mercy, this favor, this satisfaction, this truth, this one blessing after another, after another, after another giver. Jesus, thank you for that. And Father, I pray that you would find us as the ones that are receiving the kisses from heaven that so desperately are needed by the people. We just sang that. Lead us to those people. Fill our cups, God. We lift them up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of our soul. Father, we thank you. We're going to say amen here. And then we're going to open our eyes and we're going to be released into this world as the church. Lord, keep us mindful to have faith in you. And no matter what's going on in our life, that you're going to walk right into the middle of it and bring light to it. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.